2015, we're talking about fearless faith, and we're going to look each Sunday at different examples in the Bible of courage, and today we're going to look at the topic of the courage to speak the truth, the courage to speak truth, and we're going to look at the life of Samuel and how you can track his life, and you're going to find throughout the book of 1 Samuel that every time Samuel spoke, he was speaking truth to somebody. He spoke truth to Eli. He spoke truth to the nation of Israel. He spoke truth to King Saul. He spoke truth to David and his family. And every time you see Samuel talking, he is speaking truth to somebody. Now, the problem we have with this subject for Christians, I find that for myself, that either I go one way or the other, two extremes. One extreme, sometimes I get afraid to speak up when I should speak up, and I get hesitant. I want people to be happy with me, so I don't say everything that maybe I should say. And I believe that's a temptation that we all face, that we go quiet when we should be bold. The other extreme happens in many churches and many Christians as well, and that is that we love speaking truth, but we use it as a sledgehammer, and we just sledgehammer people all day, you know. Hey, I gave them the truth, you know. They should just, you know, buck up. Well, you know, both of these extremes really is not found in the story of Samuel. Samuel speaks truth, but he does it in a way that I believe is pleasing to God. And so please look in your Bibles today with me, 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read the Word of God, and we're going to start with verse 10. So please stand with me as we read the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. We'll read through verse 18. And the Lord came and stood, calling us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, Here I am. And Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Father in heaven, I pray that we would be people of truth here today. We live in a world that is oppressed and led by the kingdom of darkness, who is a liar, a deceiver. We live in a world that is full of lies and deception. And Lord God, you have called us to be truth, people of truth. I hear the words of Jesus, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. So Lord God, as Jesus' followers here today, help us to understand how we can be better people of truth today. And Lord God, if there's someone here in this room that needs to hear from you today, truth into their life, Lord, I pray that they would hear your word today to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, you joined the military, and your sergeant will speak truth to you. You are on an athletic team, and your coach will speak truth to you. You're in a classroom, and your teacher, no matter how you're feeling, will speak truth to you as they give a grade to you. Your parents, hopefully, as they raised you, spoke truth to you. You watch a Biggest Loser on television, and the trainers are speaking truth to those participants about how they need to exercise or whatever they need to do. Your boss at work should be speaking truth to you about life and reality of making money and what is expected from you. If you attend our amazing financial peace class on Tuesday nights, Dave Ramsey will speak truth to you. If you run up your credit cards, there will be consequences. Christ followers should be people of truth. But the problem is that we fall into those two extremes. We tend to hesitate on speaking truth because we want people to be happy with us, or we tend to sledgehammer people with truth, and we tend to destroy relationships. So this morning, I want us to zero in on just three elements of Samuel's life. What do we need to remember when we speak the truth based on the example of Samuel? And the first one is absolutely crucial, and that is make sure that you have heard from the Lord. Hear from God. How often I have spoken truth, or at least my perspective of truth, and it really was more my truth than God's truth. So let's look at the life of Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now this could mean a couple of things. Number one is that he had not had a conversation with God yet. He was a young man, and everything he knew about God was from his leader, Eli, or possibly his mom and dad. So he had not personally had a connection with God, or he had not personally heard from God, or he did not personally have a relationship with God yet. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Actually, God speaking to him as a prophet. He had heard everything that he had heard from someone else. Some of you are in this room, and your entire concept of God is not personal, but from someone else. You do not have a personal relationship with Christ today, and you know that. You are here today because of family or friends, and you know they have a relationship with God. Your grandparents have a relationship with God, but you're sitting here this morning, and you have to admit in your heart you do not know the Lord. And I'm very happy that you're here today, because I am praying that you would begin that step of faith today. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. Remember the story I told the kids? It was three times, and he didn't recognize the Lord's voice, and he wanted to please Eli, and Eli said, next time, just stay put and say something like this, you know, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and if he calls you, open your life up to him. Say, God, I want you to speak to me, and I want to be your servant. By the way, this is a great prayer to pray before you read the Bible in the morning when you get up in the day, before you do any ministry in your life group, your Sunday school class, youth ministry, before you do any ushering or before you do any greeting, before you do anything for God, you need to stop and pause and say, God, would you speak to me? So when I speak, I'm going to speak your words. It's my prayer every single Sunday. In fact, it's really why I'm here this morning. Because when God gives me something to say, I just want to share it with you. And so Eli said to Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And this is pretty much what God said. In 1 Samuel 3:13, he says, I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Eli had a responsibility to be a parent. He had a responsibility to be a spiritual mentor, a spiritual leader for the nation of Israel. And yet he knew his sons were blaspheming God by their behavior and by their words, and he did nothing. By the way, parents and grandparents, you cannot control your kids' lives, okay? You raise them and you direct them and you help them and you teach them and you live an example before them. But I know that many times your kids and grandkids make wrong choices. My family as well. I cannot control that. But I can control how I respond to those choices. Okay? And how I handle those situations. 1 Samuel 2:12, here's an amazing description of Eli's family. It's a very sad description. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. And so you can understand why in verse 15, Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Oh my goodness, how do I say this? He's the spiritual father of the nation. He is the leader. He is the priest. He's in charge of everything. He's my master. He's the one I'm supposed to obey and please. What is Eli going to say? What is Eli going to do? This is terrible news. So verse 18, we find that Samuel told him everything. This is one of the steps of obedience that God maybe is going to ask you to do. Is, are you willing to say what you need to say when God tells you to say it? Or are you going to coat it in some glossy way or kind of play it down or minimize it? So later on, we find that this story in Samuel's life at the beginning of his life, I believe, paved the way for how he was going to live his entire life. At chapter 8, verse 10, Samuel is probably in his 50s now, and he is facing another dilemma with the nation of Israel. They were wanting a king instead of the Lord over their lives. So Samuel, it says in chapter 8, verse 10, told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king. Do you see that principle he's got here? God told him what to say to Eli, and now God is telling him what to say to the nation of Israel, and he's not going to pull any punches. In fact, if you read the chapter in chapter 8, he says, you guys want a king, let me tell you what the king is going to do. And he uses the phrase, the king will take, 6 times in the story. 6 times. You want a king, let me tell you what the king's going to do. He's going to take. And all of us know that that's what governments do, don't they? They take. They're good takers. So he tells them, basically, be careful what you ask for. There's a principle in the Bible, and in Galatians 6:7, you reap what you sow. I like talking to people when they tell me about the choices they're going to make, and I'll tell them, let's play out the movie. This is a phrase that I found in a leadership book. Okay, if you continue this behavior, or you choose to do this, let's play out the movie. Where is this leading? What consequences do you think are going to happen? God does something interesting with us. He doesn't treat us like robots. In Psalms 106, verse 15, in the King James Bible, it says this, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And so often, God allows us to make the wrong choices. But the consequence is that we dry up spiritually. He allows us to make wrong choices, but he warns us of where it's going to head. He plays out the movie with us. In chapter 8, verse 18, Samuel says, in that day you will cry out because of your king. Okay, you want a king, give us a king. Okay, when you get this king, I'm going to tell you that there's going to come a time where you're going to cry out to God, God, get this king out of our lives. Oh my goodness. Look at what it says in verse 18. Whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. So God says, I'm going to give you what you want. But then later when you want me to take him away, I'm not going to hear you anymore. Isaiah 1:15 says, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. This is the truth. You reach out for things instead of God, and your life will dry up with God spiritually. He will not respond to you and bless your life when you have rebelliously turned your back on him. So today, like Samuel, I want to hear from God. I want to hear the whole story. I want to hear the whole truth. I don't want God to minimize anything. God, if I go this direction, what is going to happen? What consequences are going to happen? Now, in order to hear from the Lord, first of all, you need to decide, is your heart humble or proud? Because if you're proud in your life, you're not going to hear from God. It's like putting the headphones on. God, I already know what I want. I already know what I... That's what the people really were doing when they wanted a king. God, we've already decided we want a king. We just need you to kind of come through and bring us the king. But we've already decided. That's called pride. You have to decide whether you're ready to obey or already decided not to obey. If you really want to hear from God, you have to have that attitude that Samuel had as a young man. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Are you ready to serve God and do whatever he asks you to do? If he speaks to you from his word and from his Holy Spirit that you should not be doing what you really want to do, Are you ready to say, I am going to hear from God and I am going to obey no matter what? I have found that when I humble myself before God and say, God, I will do whatever you ask me to do, that that's when he speaks to me. Okay, why would he speak to somebody who's already made up their mind, you know? You have to decide whether you're a learner or whether you are arrogant, whether you really want to be taught by God. God, would you teach me what your perspective is on finances? I want to learn your way. Lord, would you teach me how to be the husband I need to be? I want to learn it your way. God, would you teach me how to be the employee I need to be? I want to learn your truth. Lord, would you teach me how to be the friend that I need to be? Would you teach me what you are about so I can follow you faithfully? That takes a learning attitude. You have to decide whether you're going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit or whether you're going to have a hard heart or not. Walk through the day and say, Lord God, would you speak to me today? Now, I'm not talking about voices in the clouds and thunder and lightning. I'm just talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to you, okay? Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking to you? So often the Holy Spirit has told me, Phil, would you talk to that person? Would you reach out to that person? You walked by them. Would you go back and greet them? Would you see how they're doing? Would you pray with that person? You see, that's the Holy Spirit guiding you. If you're here this morning, you said, I have never heard from God, I'm going to tell you, you need to check those questions. People that are proud don't hear from God. People that have already decided what their life's about don't hear from God. People that are arrogant don't hear from God. People that have a hard heart don't hear from God. John 10 describes a Christ follower this way. The sheep hear his voice, verse 3. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 4. So you immerse yourself in the Word of God, and you are in tune to the Spirit of God, and then you find yourself following the will of God. That's how it works. You immerse yourself in the Word of God, you're in tune to the Spirit of God, and you find yourself following the will of God. So the question is, before you can speak the truth to somebody, man, I want to be a truth speaker. Before you do that, did you hear from God? Or is this just you wanting to talk to somebody? Number 2, you need to speak the truth with words of hope. So often as we talk to people about truth, we forget the life of Samuel, that when he spoke truth, he gave words of hope to people. 1 Samuel 7, we find that Samuel said to all the house of Israel in verses 3 and 4, I love this word if in the Bible. It's very important. Did you know that whenever God spoke through his prophets words of warning, he always spoke words of hope? Did you know that? If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only. So Samuel says, okay, we're in trouble here. You guys have followed the wrong path. You're worshiping other gods. And so I'm the prophet of God, and so I'm going to speak from God. You guys are in trouble. But I want to tell you, if you return to the Lord and you put away those gods, there's hope. Some of you are in this room, and your life choices have been really, really sideways with God. And I want you to hear this morning that God has not given up on you. 2 Chronicles 19:3, you destroyed the Asherahs out of the land and have set your heart to seek God. So he affirms their desire to get right with God. 1 Samuel 7, verse 3, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So here they are, oppressed by the enemy because of their own wrong choices. And God is telling them, God is going to help them if they turn around. So the hope that we're going to give people is based on repentance, by the way. Did you know when you speak truth to somebody, you can never say as a Christ follower, live any way you want to live, make any choice you want to make, be totally rebellious against God, be totally selfish, and God will just pat you on the back and say, well done. We cannot say that as Christians. But we can tell them that if they repent, that there is great hope for them. That the hope that we give this world is based on repentance. Hope is based on God's promises. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not, well, you're such a nice person, I'm sure everything will work out. If somebody is struggling, what we present to them is if they turn around and turn toward God and trust in the promises of God, that there is great possibilities for their life. Biblical hope is based on genuine repentance. Matthew 3:8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You don't have to earn it, but it has to be real for you. If you're going to turn toward God and away from the stuff of the world, it has to come from deep within. And there should be evidence of that in your life. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation. So we're not talking about just feeling bad about your life. We're not talking about just feeling sad. We're talking about, I'm ready to make a change. Acts 26:20, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. So when we speak truth to people, we're going to give them hope. But hope is not wishful thinking that you're just a nice person, I'm sure everything will be okay. Hope is based on them repenting. Hope is based on God's promises. I can say to any person in this room, 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sins, He is faithful to forgive your sins. Doesn't matter what you've done. And that's a truth that has got hope saturated in it. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's truth, isn't it? But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's hope. That's based on the promise of God that if you come to Jesus, that you will be forgiven. Ephesians 1:7, in Christ we have redemption through His blood. Forgiveness is available to anyone in this room if you turn from sin and turn toward the Savior. 1 Samuel 7:4, so the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. The Baals and the Ashtaroth had all kinds of variety of worship forms. Basically, it was around sexual pleasure. It was around selfish pleasure. It was around the physical senses being satisfied. And we have not changed at all in 3,000 years. For we have those same gods all around us, don't we? Later in his old age, Samuel reviews with them the history of their disobedience and of God's faithfulness. And I love 1 Samuel 12, verse 14. It says, if you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. It's like that great hymn, "It is well with my soul." Now, it doesn't mean all the physical things of your world will be well. It doesn't mean that your team will always win their game. I tell you, what a miracle that was last Sunday. And I have no idea how that happened because I had pretty much given up on them. And so next Sunday, we're going to wear our Seahawk colors, right? I will wear my same shirt, my same pants, my same socks. Next Sunday, we're going to sing the same songs that we did last Sunday. I'm going to preach the same sermon, you know. It's only weird if it doesn't work kind of thing, right? And, you know, we kind of figure out all the things that we got to do to make things work out well for us. But to be honest, I don't know if there's even an explanation of what happened last Sunday's game. There's no explanation for it. The Bible tells us, though, that there are no guarantees about everything going our way. The guarantee is it will be well. What will it be well with? It will be well with your soul. It will be well with God. Isn't that a greatest concern for all of us? Here's the hope. 1 Samuel 12, verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for Himself. I want to tell you, my confidence is in a God who says, I care about you so much that for my name's sake, I am going to reach out to you and I am going to give you hope when you do not deserve any hope. For His great name's sake. What does that mean? It means for His glory, for His purposes, for His reputation, for His character. God says, I'm a God of love and I'm a God of mercy and I'm a God of grace and I'm a God of compassion. And that's why He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross. That's why He saves us. It's for His name's sake. Philippians 3:7 says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. That it's really about him. It's not about me. Ezekiel 36:22, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name. That there's something bigger going on in our lives. Something more important than what's easy and nice and comfortable for me. A week ago Friday, my son Jared was sworn in at the Kennewick Police Department to be one of their newest officers, and I was very proud of Jared. I really appreciated the chief of police, Ken Hohenberg. He did an excellent job when he presented the badge for my son to wear, for Amy to pin onto him, which was kind of a scary moment. But anyway, he did an excellent job, and I want to tell you, our police department here in Kennewick have a great reputation. And I believe one of the reasons is that the chief of police, Ken, said these words, remember, Jared, that this badge, when you put it on every morning, that you represent the department, you represent our community. And then he said these words, do not tarnish the badge. That's something bigger than you, Jared, when you go out and represent our community. Do not tarnish the badge. And so often as Christ followers, we tarnish the name of Jesus, do we not? And the hope that we give people is that God still is going to come alongside of us and help us, and that there's something bigger that he's calling us to. Samuel said these words in 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. I wonder how many times Samuel wanted to give up on those people because they had tarnished the name of God. And I wonder how many times Samuel said, I'm not talking to them anymore. They're a bunch of losers, you know. And then he came to this awareness because I believe Samuel was listening to God, that no matter how far somebody has gone, never stop praying for them. That when you stop praying for someone, you have stopped giving them hope. That prayerlessness is actually a sin against God, and it's a sin against another person. If you want to be a person that speaks truth, you need to give hope. And in order to give hope, you have to be praying for them first. In fact, it's something you can do before you even speak words of truth to somebody, is to pray for them. God, would you help them? Help them with whatever they're going through. Would you minister to them? Would you be the ones that speaks truth to them? In fact, if you cannot pray for someone, you should not speak truth to them. Do you understand this? If you cannot lift their name up before God, you have no right to speak truth to them. Because the first thing you should be doing is that God help them. And Matthew 5:44, it says, pray for those who persecute you. And then Samuel says, I'm not going to stop praying for you. But then he says, and I will instruct you in the good and right way. So now watch this. If you see wrong behavior around you, the first thing you do is pray for them. The second thing you do is then point them in the right direction. Okay. And so then he says in verse 24 of 1 Samuel 12, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Let me tell you a true story. You might have read it when you were in school. It's the story of Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. You might have read that book. It's really a story of redemption. If you read the original version of it, this man was born in 1632. He was rebellious. He was one of the worst sons you possibly can imagine. And he says, I'm running away. I'm going to do my own thing, you know. And so the dad sat down with him and wept over his son. And he said to his son, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, I want you to remember this one thing. You have a dad who's praying for you. And I will never stop praying for you. I will pray for you every day of my life. So in 1651, he leaves home. Almost out of the harbor, he runs into this huge storm, and he is making vows to God. Oh God, I come back to you. And as soon as the storm went, then he forgot his vows. He is later shipwrecked, And once again, he makes vows to God. Oh God, I'll do anything for you. And then later, he forgets all about the vows. Then he becomes a slave for 2 years. And once again, he makes a bunch of vows to God, and then he forgets them completely later. Then, as you probably remember most of the book, he is shipwrecked again for 35 years. And one of the things he rescued was the Bible from the shipwreck. Did you know he didn't read the Bible for years? Just sat there. And finally, he got to the point where he hit bottom and he fully surrendered to God. His father kept praying for him every day. He gave words of hope to his son. The third thing we need to remember when we speak truth to people, and this is also extremely important, that we speak the truth with the heart of God. When I speak to somebody, I have to see them as God sees them, and I have to see their heart, not just their behavior. 1 Samuel 13:13, Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you." You might remember the story that Saul was getting nervous because the enemy was coming against them. The enemy was huge, and his people were getting afraid. And the longer Samuel delayed in coming to offer a sacrifice, the more people were getting upset. People started scattering. People were leaving. "We're out of here, Saul. We're not going to wait around anymore." So Saul then finally jumped the gun, did something he was told not to do. He offered up a burnt offering without Samuel. He basically says these words, "I've got to do something. God, I can't count on you. Samuel, I can't count on you. I'm going to do something." Okay, which was motivated by fear more than anything, an unwillingness to obey. Benjamin Franklin said these words, "He that cannot obey cannot command." John Wesley said this, "Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and we will shake the world." Saul was far from the heart of God. He was doing his own thing. So now Samuel comes up to Saul, verse 14 of 1 Samuel 13, and says these words, "Now your kingdom shall not continue." That's truth, by the way. But watch what Samuel says next, verse 14. "The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart." You see, the nation wanted a king. Saul wanted his own way. But God has a heart that he's longing for. Someone just ask me what I want? And God says, "I'm looking for somebody that'll look for what I want, the heart of God." And you know what God wants? Psalms 51:17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise." If you come here this morning and your heart is broken before God, and you say, "God, my way has not worked. I've played out the movie and I've made a mess of things. And God, I come to you with a broken heart." I'll tell you right now with the absolute confidence of the Word of God that God is near the brokenhearted. And he cares about your brokenness. And God is seeking out a man after his own heart, somebody that says, "God, I want your way for my life." Chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to listen than the fat of rams." I don't want your sacrifices and I don't want your external activity. I just want your heart. Would you come and obey me with all that you have? Proverbs 21:27 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination." Don't go through the motions, please. Don't be religious. Don't be churchy. I want your heart. And then he says to Saul in verse 23, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." And then Samuel kind of treks along, and he's doing pretty good, and he's going to be looking for a new king for the nation of Israel. And God says, spoke to Samuel, "You need to go to the family of Jesse." Samuel says, "Okay, I got this." He goes to the family of Jesse. He gives them words of hope because they were afraid they were going to be judged by God. "Hey, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to give you a bad time. I'm here to do a special blessing, an anointing on the next king." And so Samuel, though, gets caught up with the moment, and he sees all the sons of Jesse, and he goes, "Surely this is what God's going to do," as he looks at the oldest, the strongest, the biggest, the tallest. And then the Lord had to say something to Samuel. Samuel, please, let's not make another mistake here. The Lord said to Samuel in verse 7, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Christ followers, the next time you speak truth to somebody, are you hearing from God? Are you speaking words of hope after you've prayed for them? Are you speaking the heart of God? Do you see people as God sees them, not on the outward appearance? And today, by the way, could be the moment where you surrender your heart to Christ. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and we surrender our hearts to you. Lord God, we hear you speaking to us this morning. Come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Lord God, we come and we want to turn from the things that have clouded our lives and distracted us from you. Lord God, those in this room that have not known you yet, I pray in this moment they would give their hearts to you. Lord Jesus, thank you that you never give up on us. Your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness is always available to us. I thank you that when we come to you, that it can be well with our souls, that your peace can fill our hearts. I thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.